October 13th, 2012, Vrindavan Nectar Devotion, Chapter 2. So today I wanted to start with a presentation that may surprise you because it's from Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 12. So I'm hoping that this will help you to link what you're learning in your Bhagavad Gita class with what we're doing here of Nectar Devotion. I decided to bring this here and show it because where we are right now in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami has started off giving us a definition of pure devotional service. Can we say that verse together? Anyam vila sita shunyam jnana karma anamritam anupurvena krishnam shiranam bhaktir bhutanam. So he told us, what is bhakti? Bhakti, your material desireness is zero. You're not covered with karma and jnana. You are doing activities of the body, mind, words, including thinking, feeling, willing, that are following the guru and the acharyas, that are with the intention of pleasing who? Krishna. Okay. And then, well, why should I do that? Why should I just work to please somebody and think about their happiness? What results do I get? What are the six results? Kleshagni, which means? Release from distress. Shubhada, all auspiciousness. Happiness above liberation. Yes, next. Rarely attained. Next. Incalculable bliss. And attracting Krishna. All right. Now we know what pure devotional service is, and we know what the benefits we will get from it. However, we might say, well, that's lovely, but right now, this minute, I don't feel like I can be free from all material desires, uncovered with jnana and karma, and only thinking about how to please Krishna. So in this chapter, Rupa Goswami is going to give the stages of pure bhakti, the stages of pure bhakti. And he's basically dividing it up into three stages, one of which has two subcategories. So sadhana bhakti, which is bhakti in practice, bhakti in ecstasy, and bhakti in love of God. There should be a paper going around where everybody needs to write at least one. You can write up to three questions on chapter two, and after everyone has written on it, then it can come back to me. So anyway, this is from chapter 12, where we're also looking at this distinction between sadhana bhakti, bhakti in ecstasy, and pure love of God. And we're also looking at the subcategory of sadhana bhakti. What are the two subcategories of sadhana bhakti? Vaidhi and Raganuga. Okay. Huh? What?
Is it mostly not spontaneous?
When you say mostly,
but it's mostly regulated, isn't it?
What is mostly regulated?
When you're practicing devotional service, as like
mostly in terms of most what?
Mostly regulated, like mostly.
I'm still confused as to what it is that's mostly regulated.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time. That depends on you.
No, I'm speaking about in general.
I don't know if it isn't in general.
Let's
get there. Because I'm not sure if I understand your question. So let's go through this and then we'll get there. Okay, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 12... Krishna talks about this is the best, and this is the next best, and this is the next best. You all remember that? Okay, so the principle is that there are acceptable processes, good processes, better processes, and best processes. Like if you want to go someplace, the best process would be a plane. That'd be the fastest way. But it's better to achieve lower success than to fail at a higher level. So it's better to actually get someplace in a car rather than to crash in a plane. So that the best process means what is best for me and what's best for me now. So this is an important principle for this part of Nectar Devotion, because we need to decide where we are. Just like if you ask directions, how do I get to the Krishna Balaram Mandir? The first question that you'll ask somebody is, if somebody calls you and says, how do I get to the Krishna Balaram Temple? You'll say, where are you? Where are you? So in order to know what to do in Krishna consciousness, because Rupa Goswami is going to be giving us principles for Vaidhi Sadhana, Raghunuga Sadhana, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. So how do you know what to do unless you know where you are? Okay, so this is the best process Krishna gives. This is in verse 8 of chapter 12. The best process is to fix one's mind on Krishna. And you notice today in chapter 2, what is Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada giving as the essence of all the rules and regulations? Always remember Krishna and never forget him. By the way, in this class, I really do expect you to read the chapters before the class. They're extremely short chapters. So I know in my other class, you know, people were sometimes having to read 50 or 60 very difficult pages. But this is, you know, 4 or 5 fairly easy pages. So I really do. It's very difficult for me to teach if you don't come having already read. So this is also a process to fix your mind on Krishna. It's a goal, but it is also a process to be fixed all the time, to be thinking of Krishna. Okay, so this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on text 8. To concentrate your mind on Krishna only, remember only Krishna, that form of Shyamasundara with yellow cloth and forest garland. Fix your intelligence upon Krishna to reflect on the statements. Okay, and this way you will live near Krishna. So who can follow this? If you say to somebody, okay, the process for attaining love of God is to always think about Krishna constantly, who can do that? So Prabhupada in the purport to text 8, chapter 12, says that if someone is experiencing that Krishna, his internal potency, is dancing on his tongue when he is chanting, that when he offers food, he experiences that Krishna is directly eating it, and he doesn't live on the material plane. So these are the qualifications. If you have these qualifications, then you can engage in the process of immediately always fixing your mind upon Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in commenting on text 8, he says this process of always thinking of Krishna is called Raghunuga Bhakti, which means following the Ragatmika Bhaktas. But suppose you say, well, I'm not qualified for that. I can't just always think of Krishna all the time. I try, and maybe I'm only thinking of Krishna 1 minute a day, or 1 minute a week, or something like that. What will I do? I look at the process and I say, well, that's pretty difficult. So there's a step to Raghunuga Bhakti called, in the Bhagavad Gita, Abhyas Yoga. And the word Abhyas means?
Practice.
Yes, and sadhana also means practice. So sadhana bhakti means practice yoga. Now Raghunuga Bhakti is also in the category of practice. So the process of always thinking of Krishna is also a process. But here is how you prepare yourself for Raghunuga Bhakti, which Krishna explains in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. From wherever the mind wanders, you constantly pull it back. And this is the essence of sadhana bhakti. This is actually the essence of Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. The word abhyasa literally means to repeat. And what are we repeating? in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We're repeating, pulling the mind to Krishna. Remember this Anushilanam. Shilanam is body, mind, and words, and under mind is thinking, feeling, and willing. And you find today in the reading you did for chapter 2, where Srila Prabhupada's really emphasizing, and let's see if we can find it specifically. Okay. My dear king, one has to fix his mind on Krishna by any means. That is called Krishna consciousness. It is the duty of the Acharya, the spiritual master, to find the ways and means for his disciple to fix his mind on Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. 21, middle of the page. 21, bottom of the second paragraph. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti means one is practicing to fix one's mind upon Krishna. Now this sadhana bhakti, or abhyas yoga as called in the Bhagavad Gita, is on the transcendental platform. Me, the practitioner, may not yet be on the transcendental platform, but the process itself is on the transcendental platform. We gave the analogy the other day of, are you bathing in pure water or are you bathing in polluted water? You may still be dirty, but the water you're using is pure. So this abhyas yoga, sadhana bhakti, is a pure process. Just want to ask you, we're passing around a paper that we're asking you to write your question or questions for chapter 2, so when the paper comes to you, please everyone be passing it around. Make sure you write down the question. All right, well, I just read this, didn't I? It's exactly what I just read. So that's the beginning of sadhana bhakti, is practicing to fix your mind on Krishna. And here Srila Prabhupada saying that love of God is in a dormant state in everyone's heart. The dormant love has to be revived. So this Prabhupada's also talking about here in chapter 2. And he's comparing it to what? He's saying you can't just practice something that's unnatural. What does he compare bhakti to in chapter 2? That's natural and that's awakened by practice. Healthy condition and child walking, two things. And a mental healthy condition. Prabhupada talks about a psychiatrist with a mental patient. So that having a clear mind is natural. To be mentally ill is unnatural. And the psychiatrist is trying to revive the natural condition of mental health or walking. So when a baby's born, one of the tests they do to see if the baby is normal is they hold the baby up right after birth. They hold the baby up and see, does the baby make a walking motion? So a normal newborn baby, now a child doesn't learn to walk until somewhere around 1 year old. No, not less than 6-7 months, and sometimes 2-2.5 years it takes. About 1 year, children learn to walk. But at birth, the walking motion and tendency is there in the human body. So to be healthy is normal, to walk is normal. Now other things are not normal, like if you're going to be a gymnast, so that's not a normal condition of the human body. You have to practice, right? But you're practicing something that's not the normal condition. Whereas with bhakti, you're practicing something. The practice really just revives it. It rekindles what's already there. Okay, so how do we do this? Now it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada, in describing how to do this, is giving here a list, in this particular case, a list of activities being done with the... What? rules and regulations done with the what?
Guidance.
Under the guidance. What are you using to do these? The body. Okay? Follow certain, get up early in the morning, take a bath, enter the temple, offer prayers, body and the words, chant Hare Krishna, collect flowers, cook food, take prasad, hear Bhagavatam. Those are things to do with the body and the speech. Prabhupada here is not mentioning mind, but sadhana bhakti begins with fixing the mind. So we talked about how this thinking, feeling, and willing, it's an integrated system. What you think about changes what you do and what you feel. What you feel changes what you think about and what you do. What you do changes what you think about and what you feel. So what's the purpose of doing these activities with the body? To condition ourselves to? To do what?
Remember Krishna.
Remember Krishna. The whole purpose of these activities is to condition us. It's not a condition, it's to awaken our natural love, our natural thought of Krishna. Right? Otherwise, Prabhupada says, if this injunction of always remembering Krishna is followed, then all other rules and regulations will automatically fall into line. All other rules and regulations should be treated as assistance or service to this one basic principle. So everything we're doing with our body is to invoke remembrance of Krishna. So this is the idea that while we do these things with our mind, with our body, they should be sparking the activities of the mind. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti means that I'm doing things with my body and my speech that's going to change my mind. And here Prabhupada is saying the gross body should be engaged in acts of rendering service. Similarly, the subtle mind should be engaged in hearing, thinking about them. So actual meditation on them. And what's the mood? The mood that one has is, I'm serving Krishna and I'm not so much concerned about my material maintenance. Now, that doesn't mean that you quit your job necessarily, but it means that that's not what your heart is, no longer in anxiety about your bodily maintenance. And this is very nicely explained at the end of this chapter, where Srila Prabhupada's talking about Varnashram. And he's saying, whatever you do, right? It's a quoting from Krishna talking to Uddhava in the 11th canto. All persons are engaged in activities, whether those indicated in the revealed scriptures or ordinary worldly activities. Now, I thought it was interesting that there could be ordinary activities that are not in the scriptures, because the scriptures also describe ordinary activities. If by the result of either of these they worship me, then automatically they become happy in this world as well as in the next. Then Prabhupada says something very interesting, which we'll talk about more in depth later. Thus the Krishna consciousness movement is so nice that there is no need of even designating oneself Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. Let everyone be engaged in whatever occupation he now has. Simply let him worship Lord Krishna by the result of his activities in Krishna consciousness. That will adjust the whole situation and everyone will be happy and peaceful within this world. So Prabhupada's not saying here, give up maintaining your family. He's saying you don't even have to do things properly in Varnashram, but whatever you're doing, you're thinking Krishna's taking care of me. You stop thinking I'm the doer, I'm the one making the money. You don't have this anxiety for bodily maintenance in your heart. Where am I going to live? How am I going to eat? How will my children get married? How will I do this? How will I do that? It's more, how can I think about Krishna? How can I think about Krishna? Again, that doesn't mean you stop cooking or you stop cleaning or you stop washing your clothes, but that's not where your heart's anxiety is. So how does one get from Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti or Vyasa Yoga to Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti? By desire. And the word used in the Bhagavad Gita is Icha. By desire. So this relates very much to what we talked about yesterday, in that Krishna consciousness is very rarely achieved. And we said that you cannot achieve Krishna consciousness merely by one's own endeavor. One requires the mercy of a devotee. But we talked about yesterday that one's engagement in Krishna consciousness needs to be done with what mood? Humility, yes, and what else? Favorable, yes, and what else?
Perseverance.
Definitely perseverance.
Pleasing.
A mood of wanting to please Krishna, a mood of attachment, a mood of desiring Krishna. You know, it's easy to just do my service as, well, this is what I'm doing every day, I'm chanting my rounds every day, or this way the devotees will let me stay here and they'll feed me. But actually developing a desire. We were talking the other day, many of you asked, how do you know when you're in Raghunuga Bhakti instead of in Vaidhi Bhakti? What's changing is your impetus, why you're doing what you're doing. So the bridge from Vaidhi Sadhana to Raghunuga Sadhana is your motivation, your inclination, your desires. What's your desires? Like, oh, now I want Krishna, I want Krishna, I want Krishna. In Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, one is thinking, you know, I want happiness, I want freedom from distress, I want liberation, I want name and fame, I want whatever, you know. But actually wanting to please Krishna, the person Krishna, as a person, not just an idea, yes, I want to please Krishna, but actual feeling that I want to please Krishna. So this is an amazing statement by Prabhupada in the first canto, that one, the unhappy materialist, can get out of the material world just by desiring to get out. And this relates to Rupa Goswami's statement that the only price for attaining prema is greed. That the intense desire for it. So the whole purpose of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is to develop an intense desire for Krishna, which qualifies one for Raghunuga Bhakti, and which one is always remembering Krishna. And how do we cultivate that intense desire? What is the process of sadhana, Vaidhi Sadhana? What is the main process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? No. What is the main process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti?
Follow the order of spiritual masters.
No.
Engaging all the senses of consciousness.
Close.
Try to fix the mind on Krishna.
Yes. To practice fixing the mind on Krishna. Why are we following the orders of the spiritual master? Why are we chanting? Prabhupada said these are all servants of the main principle. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti means I am making an effort to always fix my mind on Krishna. It's an effort. I have to work at it. It's not coming automatically, but I'm making an effort to fix my mind on Krishna. And by doing that, I change my desires. When I change my desires, then I enter into Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, where I am naturally always thinking of Krishna. So here you can see the path from Vyasa Yoga to Raghunuga Bhakti, or to Vaidhi with Bhava. But Vyasa Yoga is the same as Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Now suppose one said, well, I can't do this. I can't do Vyasa Yoga. I can't do Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. I cannot keep bringing my mind back to Krishna. Now what we're going to talk about now is outside of the range of Nectar Devotion Chapter 2. And you might say, well, why am I talking about this? Because I also want to talk about what Chapter 2 is not. So Baladeva Vibhushan, they say, my mind is too hard, I can't control it, it's like the wind. So how do you get to Abhyas Yoga or Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? Through the direct path. And that is through the unvisited bhakti done with the body and a limited amount of mind. What Krishna says in the 12th chapter, work for me. He says, always think of me. If you can't do that, practice Abhyas Yoga. So you develop a desire to attain me. And if you can't do that, just work for me. You all remember that from Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, which you just had a few days ago. Okay, so here's the angles of bhakti. So Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur, his commentary to Bhagavad Gita, text 10, says, doing services such as hearing and singing about me, bowing to me, worshipping me, sweeping and washing my temple, picking flowers, even without remembrance of me, as previously described. So this is not Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. This is below that. This is working for Krishna. Now, if we're in this level below, if we're not really in Abhyas Yoga, if we're not really working on the mind, in order to still qualify as being called bhakti, in order to still qualify as being called part of the process of pure bhakti, rather than karma mishra bhakti, or jnana mishra bhakti, or karma yoga, or jnana yoga, or jnana yoga, or something like that, these are the qualifications. First of all, one should have no interest in going to the heavenly planets, including that of Lord Brahma, and no interest in going to the Brahman. So this relates to Jnana Karma and Avritam. Most discussion will come mostly in the second half of the class.
Does that mean working and service?
Can you park that? Park it. Put it in the car, park it, and ask me. Ask me later. Is that all right? Okay. It's an excellent question. I don't want to go on that path right now. Okay, so it still has to be karma, jnana karma, and avritam. One cannot be desiring liberation or happiness. That cannot be one's motive. It's not that the desire never comes, but that's not your motive. We talked about this before, right? Yes? Yes? Did we talk about it before? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I want to ask a favor of you. Please don't be like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for those 7 days. Where he just sat there. And at the end, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I have no idea if you heard anything or you understood anything. So.
I'm sorry, but this still has to go this way.
Anyone who didn't write down the questions,
here,
please do.
This was it. You have to go this one.
What, everybody here, did you write your question? No, they didn't. They'll get down.
Don't worry.
You already wrote yours? You wrote yours? Yes, okay. All right, now we talked about the bridge from Abhyas Yoga, or Vaidhi Sadhana, to Raghunuga Sadhana, which was what? What was the other bridge?
Desire.
How do you go from the angas of bhakti, just doing the angas of bhakti with the body, to actual Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? And that is peace. By engaging your body and words and to some little extent your mind in the angas of bhakti, you'll develop peace. And only in a peaceful condition can you really start to fix your mind upon Krishna. So how does the bhakti yogi develop peace? So one of my students said, one of your students said today, we need more practical, so it's very practical. How do we develop the peace to engage in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? So I think you brought up this first the other day, right? We all of us. Suri Dam Sarvati, Sarvutana, Gatma, Shanti Michiti. Good. Use the opportunity to practice your verses. We'll do better on the exam. There you go.
We already finished that exam.
You already finished that exam, so you can forget those verses, okay. No problem. Okay, how do we do this? It's by thinking of Krishna as the boss. I talked about this the other day. Prabhupada one time installed a deity, called him Partamishani, the boss. So a very, very easy way to attain this peace that allows us to practice fixing the mind on Krishna is think about Krishna as the boss. So here's a nice quote. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord. What is the word in pure bhakti that means to try to satisfy Krishna? With the intention of pleasing Krishna, what's that word? Thank you, everybody. Thank you. So to be working for pleasing Krishna. I'm trying to please, he's my boss. Is the president of the country where you're a citizen, is that your boss?
No.
No. The temple commander?
No.
Your wife?
No.
Yes.
Your mother and father?
No.
Yes.
Your husband?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Krishna. Who are all these other people?
Ministers.
They're your suppliers, or your co-workers, or your customers. You have to decide if your spouse is a supplier, co-worker, or customer. Your boss is Krishna. Your spouse might be a supplier, might be a co-worker, might be a customer. Your mother, your father, your temple president, maybe they're your supplier, maybe they're your co-worker, maybe they're your customer. But only one boss. Only Krishna is the boss. If I'm thinking my business in life is to please my husband, you know, one day I'm making pizza, he's happy, next day I'm making pizza, he's not happy. Right? Here's Prabhupada giving a nice example. Says you are a married wife. In that position, you should serve your husband nicely, always being attentive to his needs, making the ultimate goal of our activity the pleasure of Krishna. So Prabhupada's telling this married woman, yes, you should be attentive to your husband's needs. Why? To please your husband? Because that's what's going to please Krishna. Why are you nice to the customers? To please the boss. Are you trying to please the customers independently of the boss? Why are you trying to please the customers? So your boss will be pleased. Why are you trying to get along with your co-workers? So the boss will be pleased. Why are you giving respect to the suppliers? So the boss will be pleased. The boss is the one who pays our salary. If we get this one thing, we will find peace. And from the platform of peace, you can think of Krishna. If you're struggling to think of Krishna, it means you don't have peace. If you don't have peace, it's because you have the wrong object that you're trying to please. Wait. Park it. Write it down. Write it down. Here again, in every sphere of life, the Lord to be situated as the proprietor even in our ordinary dealings. Same thing Prabhupada talks about here at the end of this chapter. You're working at a bank. No, you're not working at a bank. You're working for?
Krishna.
And what's the product you're selling? Praying. You're selling love of God. And what's he paying your salary in?
Take it back to Godhead.
He's taking me back to Godhead, giving you love of God. You get to eat the company products. He's your boss. You may think, I'm working for a bank. I'm working for a computer company. I'm serving in this particular temple. Whether you get paid or not is irrelevant. If you're working to get paid, then that's a different thing, then you're not in bhakti at all. But if whatever we're doing, we're thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna. Krishna is my boss. He's the proprietor. I'm working to please him. He's maintaining me. Whether he maintains me through an income, whether he maintains me by people just giving me random donations, whether he maintains me by my little room with my little box of clothes, whether he maintains me by my husband having a job, however he maintains me, Krishna's paying my salary. One of my co-workers may hand me the money, but the co-worker's not paying me. My boss is paying. Krishna is the proprietor. Everything I'm doing for his business. Whether I'm in a university, whether I'm in a job, whether I'm in a brahmachari ashram, whether I'm traveling and preaching, whether I'm married, whatever I'm doing, Krishna is the proprietor. If one thinks like this, one will attain peace. If ever I'm trying to satisfy anybody other than Krishna, I will be in anxiety. Why? Can you satisfy anybody other than Krishna, independent of Krishna? No, it's not possible. It's not possible. Today you bring your wife flowers and she's happy. Tomorrow you bring her the same flowers, she's not happy. This is the way it is in this world, correct?
Yes.
You know, today you go to Mangal Arati, you chant all your vows in the temple, and you do all your service, and the temple president is happy with you. Tomorrow you go to Mangal Arati, you chant all your vows in the temple, and you do your service, and the temple president's not happy with you. This is the way it is. It doesn't matter whether your boss is a husband or a wife or a temple president or your father or your brother or your uncle or who it is. You cannot satisfy a jiva independently of Krishna. And then we're always going to be in anxiety. Does this person like me? Do they not like me? Can I stay? Will I be able to stay here? Will I lose my job? Will I lose my position? That's always the anxiety. Then there can't be peace, and then I can't think about Krishna because I'm going to be thinking about these other things. So, you know, actually, we're afraid. Well, if I don't care about satisfying the temple president, if I don't care about satisfying my husband, then I'll be neglectful. No. If I see that these people are my suppliers, or my co-workers, or my customers, then I'll be more diligent to take care of them, because that would please Krishna. But then I'm peaceful, because how is Krishna pleased? Patram pushpam palantayam bhakta prayatajita nam bhakti paritam ashtami paritatmata. Is Krishna hard to please? No, he's very easy to please. Try pleasing someone in this world with a little leaf.
But it's easy to become offensive.
Krishna's not... I mean, look at Lord Indra. Indra was so offensive that he tried to kill everyone in Vrindavan. Anyone here ever been that offensive? No. Can Krishna excuse? That doesn't mean you should intentionally commit offenses thinking they'll be excused. But Krishna's very soft. And that was a pretty bad offense. That was pretty bad. I mean, that was really bad. That wasn't just a little bit bad. And it was malicious, too. It was prideful. It wasn't just sort of that he just left the faucet running and so everything flooded because he fell asleep with the water running. You know, he intentionally brought out his destruction clouds and said, kill them all. Kill the cows. Kill all the residents of Vrindavan. Correct? Well, because there's a Vaishnava. He's a Sakama Vaishnava. He isn't even in Uttama Bhakti. He's in Karma Vishnu Bhakti. And still Krishna excused him. He didn't even take his post away. I mean, I would have. I would have said, you're fired. I'm going to get a new Indra. I would have probably had him executed. But Krishna didn't do that. Krishna didn't kill him. Krishna didn't even punish him. I mean, he embarrassed him. But really embarrassed himself. So Krishna's not hard to please. And he's not easy to offend. So not being attached to the results of one's work. This is also such an important principle. When we're working for the result, then we're measuring our bhakti by the result, the material result. You know, we're building a temple and we measure our bhakti by whether does the temple get built and is it a nice temple. You're cooking, you're measuring your bhakti by how does the food taste. Can you control that 100%? Can you control 100% the results of your activities? No. How many factors of action are there? 5 factors of action. I'm only one of them, and I'm definitely not 1/5. I cannot control the results of my actions. I can't. Can I control whether or not all of you learn the nectar devotion? I have some influence, but can I control it? No. You can come here and sleep the whole time. What can I do? Throw water on you? What am I supposed to do? I can say, please stand up. And after I say, please stand up 5 times, I don't say it anymore. I can't control that. No. I just have buckets of water on the ceiling with a rope. I can't make you study. I can't do it. I can make it easy for you, as easy as I can. You know, I can have a variety. I can show up on time. I can prepare. I can have a variety of activities. But I can't control whether or not you learn. I can influence it, but I can't control it. So if I'm going to judge, I'm going to say, well, okay, the only way my teaching this nectar devotion is going to be bhakti is if every single one of the people who come to my class absolutely loves it and learns everything perfectly. What's going to happen to poor little old me? I'm setting myself up for failure. Will I feel peaceful? No. Will I be able to remember Krishna? No. And then what happens if even one person here says, I didn't like that class? Wasn't enough Sanskrit. I never really wanted a woman teacher anyway. Why not they bring sannyasis to teach us? Now if even one person says that, then I'm finished. Then I'm devastated because I was, what did I start out with? I said, if I'm going to say this is bhakti only if everybody's happy and everybody learns, then if one person isn't happy or one person doesn't learn, then I'm finished. So that's a fruitive mentality. That is a fruitive mentality. I think of a fruitive mentality like this. You work for the fruit, and here's the fruit. Sometimes the fruit is good, sometimes the fruit is not good. Sometimes there's no fruit. Then you work for the next fruit. And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not good, sometimes there's no fruit. Then you work. So then your whole life is just simply anxiety with little moments of maybe happiness. You follow? The whole life anxiety, maybe happiness. Anxiety, maybe happiness. So we don't do that, but one is offering everything to Krishna now. Everything offering to Krishna now. That means now. That means now, in this minute. Right now, sitting here in this room, I'm offering this to Krishna now. And whatever results I get, that's nice prasad. And Krishna can give me, he can give me bitter melon prasad, he can give me sweet rice prasad. Whatever he gives us is prasad. But I'm not doing it for the result, I'm doing it for the connection with Krishna now. So Krishna is my proprietor, I'm only trying to please Krishna, and I'm trying to please Krishna now I'm not looking for a fruit. If there's a fruit, I offer that to Krishna. In that now, in that moment. When I'm planting the seed, I offer that to Krishna. When I water the seed, I offer that to Krishna. When I weed the tree, I offer that to Krishna. When I fertilize the tree, I offer that to Krishna. And when I pick the fruit, I offer that to Krishna. Every moment being offered to Krishna, and every moment accepting reciprocation from Krishna.
It takes quite a lot of practice to get to that point.
You can start doing that right now, this minute, without any practice. You can immediately start doing it.
You have to remember.
Immediately. Say, Krishna, I'm offering this moment to you now.
Krishna, I'm offering this moment to you now.
And just keep doing that. If you can, I was telling my other class this also. Is Krishna right here in our heart?
Yes.
Is he here? Agreed?
Yes.
Okay. Is he in every atom?
Yes.
Okay. He's on the wall there too, isn't he?
Yeah.
There he is. Can he see you?
Yes.
Can he hear you?
Yes.
Just remember that. Here's Krishna. He's right here. You can imagine him sitting on your table. Is Krishna actually on your table?
Yes.
Yes.
Is
he? He's also in the table. He also is the table. Okay. He's also there. So if you imagine that Krishna is sitting there, is that just your imagination? Or is he really actually there? He's really actually there. Okay. So you just meditate on the reality. Krishna's right here, and he's my boss. And what I'm doing right now is to please him. Now. Whatever I'm doing in this instant, not this day, not this week, not this month, not this year, it's like now, this little tiny, teeny tiny now, like that. He's sitting here, and he's looking at me, and he's saying, aha, what are you doing? And I'm saying, what I'm doing is for you, it's 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 for you. This is the stage before Vaidhi Sadhana. Is the stage of working for Krishna. This does not require some advanced state of consciousness. Okay, here's a summary. Engaging the senses and activities of bhakti with the idea that Krishna is the proprietor, are working to please him without a fruit of consciousness, which gives us what? What does that give us? What's the bridge? And that's later. Peace. Gives you peace. Then you can do Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which is pulling the mind back to Krishna all the time while engaging the senses of bhakti, internal, external. What does that give you? Well, what's the bridge? Desire. Gives you desire. Okay? All right. Take a break, 10 minutes. Thank you. All right.